During this Advent season, we look forward to celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Messiah. It's already happened. It's been done. And it is finished. But during Advent season, we also look forward to the Jesus who is coming back, his glorious return. And in this Advent season, this whole month of December, we've been turning our attention to the eternal Jesus. In Revelation 1:4, we're introduced to a statement about God's eternality, where the Apostle John again writes this to the church. He says, "Grace and peace to you from him, from Jesus, who was, who is, and who is to come." Jesus, the Son of God, is eternal. He always was. He is right now, and he is to come back. He's coming back. The past 2 weeks, we focused on that reality of Jesus was. Jesus was. He was always, from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus was with God always, at creation even. When all things were created, Jesus was there. And we remember that Jesus was God, that amazing reality of the Trinity, being with God, but being God, wow, blowing our minds with his bigness, his other than-ness. Jesus was. And then last week, we remembered that Jesus was born. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us, John 1:14. Again, that passage is crying out and displaying the wonder and the love of Christmas. Jesus was born. The divine stepping down from heaven, taking on the fullness of humanity for us, and then taking that humanity all the way to the cross in order to rescue us because he loves us. He loves us. Merry Christmas. This is Christmas. Today we're going to continue to celebrate Advent by remembering that Jesus is. Jesus is. That's the title of today's message. Jesus is. We need to know who he is right now. So who is Jesus? We're going to go back to our three questions that we answered when we were discovering and reminding ourselves who Jesus was. The same three questions. Starts with, when is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And finally, who is Jesus? Those are the three questions that we're going to return to here this morning as we look at who Jesus really is right now. So question number one, when is Jesus? Now we remember this. Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. He was always and will always be, which means that Jesus is right now. Jesus is right now. It says in the Great Commission, Jesus spoke these words in his Great Commission. I encourage you to read it often, remember it, and live by it. That's what Jesus has commissioned us to do, what he's called us to do as his people. And in the Great Commission, Jesus said, and surely, that means you can take to the bank, that means it's a done deal, it's going to happen. Jesus is saying this. And surely, I am with you, when? Always. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Always means now. Means Jesus is now. When is Jesus? He's now. He's today. He's not passed away. He's not disappeared. When is Jesus? Jesus is now. Right here. Right now. Are you living out of that reality of who Jesus is? That he is now. Let's jump very quickly into the second question. Because when is Jesus? He's now. Question number two, where is Jesus? Again, we know that Jesus was at creation. He was always, right? He was born even then. He walked on this earth as a man. We know that. But where is Jesus right now? Where is he? It says this in Mark 16, verse 19. It says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to his disciples, to them, his disciples, Jesus was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. It's talking about the ascension of Jesus. When he left this earth and he ascended to be at the right hand of God. And in the ascension, what we're finding as Jesus is glorified in the ascension, as he returns to the Father, we see that signifying that his work here on earth, his mission on earth to save the world, had been completed. And of course, we read that it is finished. And so he ascended. Where is Jesus? John 1:14. We've been in the Gospel of John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in this eternal Jesus series as we're discovering the Jesus who was, is, and is to come. In John 1:18, it says, "No one has ever seen God." It's speaking of Jesus here. "But God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So where is Jesus? Let's look in Ephesians 1:20. "He," God the Father, "raised him," Jesus the Son, "from the dead, and he seated the Son," Jesus, "at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Where is Jesus? Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. Let's not forget that. Easter's already happened. We're going to celebrate it every year, but it's already happened, right? He died, but he was raised to life. "Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." So where is Jesus? Colossians 3:1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ." Let me ask this. How many of you have been raised with Christ in this room? Have you been raised with Christ? Praise God. "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And finally, I'm going to kind of end this whole thing of describing and making sure we understand where Jesus is by going to Acts 7:55-56. And I get to talk about one of my favorite people in the world that's ever lived. His name is Stephen. Obviously, Jesus is my favorite. But there's this guy named Stephen. I call him a Christian rock star. You know, I mean, like before there was K-Love and Air One and all that. This guy was it. He was it. And this was one of the deacons in the church. And this guy loved Jesus. And he would declare his name everywhere he went. He was bold. He loved God and he loved people. And he would bring Jesus into every opportunity that he had. And so one day he was preaching the name of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the people and the super religious folk, which Jesus couldn't stand either, they didn't like what Stephen was saying. And so they began to throw rocks at him. They began to stone him to death. They began to murder him. And in the process of being murdered and becoming a martyr, this is what we pick up on. It says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit." How many of you know you can't do life, you can't do ministry? You're missing out if you're trying to do it in your own strength. You got to be full of God. And we have that privilege. We're going to talk about it here in just a little bit, of being filled with God. All right, so Stephen, full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And what else did he see? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Where is Jesus? Well, Stephen discovered where Jesus is, and he got to see him. And this is just a theory I have, but I love it, and I'm going with it, and it gets me excited. You know, most of the time in these other passages, we read that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. But we also know there are times when Jesus stands up from his throne, his place of being seated. He stands up, and I believe he stood up, and he gave Stephen a standing ovation, because Stephen, his good and faithful servant, was preaching his name, declaring his name, and living all in for Jesus. And as Stephen was departing from this life and going into the glorious eternal life with Christ Jesus, Jesus is standing saying, "Yeah, that's my guy. That's Stephen." So, the eternal Jesus, in his resurrected, in his glorified human body, fully God and fully man, that hypostatic union, fully God and fully man, is right now in heaven at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Sometimes he's sitting and sometimes he's standing up saying, "Come on, that's my church. Those are my people. I love it. I love it." Think about that. Oh, man, that gets me excited. All right, so here's the deal, though. So he's at the right hand of the Father right now. But many imagine Jesus as simply a disembodied spirit being. But that's not true. That's not who Jesus is. We're talking, who is Jesus right now? He's not a disembodied spirit being, some cosmic power, just some theological thought that's floating around the earth. He's not a warm fuzzy, you know, that I feel warm and cozy, you know, in my heart. You know, he's not that. He's so much more. He's so much more. He's so much bigger. It's so much more exciting than that. Where is Jesus, the eternal one? Fully God, fully man, Jesus is at this time in his glorified body at the right hand of the Father. But check this out. How many of you know that God is good? God is good. See, lest we think that God has somehow abandoned us and Jesus just said, hey, I'm going to ascend, see you later, have fun. Figure it all out. See, Jesus did something amazing for us. Jesus gave us a promise, an amazing promise. It says this, Jesus promised, it's found in John 16. He said, but I tell you the truth, beginning of verse 7 of John 16. I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away, that I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. It's good for you. Everyone's thinking, what are you talking about, Jesus? We love you here. We love you here. We love you here. Jesus said, look, unless I go away, the counselor, capital C, speaking of the Holy Spirit, God himself, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's a promise. Did he go? He went. He ascended. And he was good on his promise. Read about it in the book of Acts, day of Pentecost. Verse 13, let's pick it back up. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Wow. This is who Jesus has sent to us. Okay? He will tell you what is yet to come. And then in verse 14, he, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see what's happening? Jesus is going at the right hand of the Father. Everything the Father knows, all of him is in Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit, God, who's going to come and dwell among you. And he's going to tell you everything about God. Everything will be made known to you. That's pretty exciting. That Merry Christmas, by the way. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus says. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So Jesus went, he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. But he didn't leave us alone. He sent God to be with us. Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father, is so good that he has sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could have the fullness of God in us, and so the fullness of God could work in us and through us. Merry Christmas, by the way. Merry Christmas. So through his Spirit, Jesus lives in us. That's how Jesus is in you. Through his Spirit. Do you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? The actual dwelling place of God, that's a whole new reality because Jesus came. That's a whole new reality. That's marvelous. That's mind-blowing. I mean, the Trinity's mind-blowing. That hypostatic union of God, fully Jesus, fully God and fully man, that's mind-blowing. And it's mind-blowing to me that God would make his dwelling in me. But that's what he's done. That's how big and how good God is. So let's move on to answering our third question. Who is Jesus? Who is he? I'm talking about like right now. Because he's right now. But who is he right now? Jesus, who's currently at the right hand of the Father, continues to be, always has been, always will be, God. Jesus continues to be the eternal, uncreated one. Scripture opens our understanding to who Jesus is right now, and we discover several things about who Jesus is. Jesus is, number one, Jesus is our Savior. Right now. Jesus is. Not maybe, not someday, not in the future, but he is right now. Jesus is our Savior. It says in the Gospel of John, Chapter 3. Does anybody know John 3:16? Has anybody heard that before, John 3:16? All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then it continues in verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is right now our Savior. Jesus is your Savior. It says in 1 John 2:2 that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Who is Jesus? Jesus is our Savior, our atoning sacrifice. Jesus is. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Jesus is also our mediator right now. Jesus is our mediator. It says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is our mediator. It says in 1 John 2, verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you. You want to know why the Apostle John wrote his first letter? Here it is. I write this to you so that you will not sin. Sometimes I preach to you so that you will not sin. But John wrote this letter anyway. Get it? He wrote this letter so that you will not sin. And by the way, I preach to myself all week, so I get a heavy dose of all of this stuff all week long. Believe me. There are times I'm like, oh, Lord, I know who you're preaching to. You're right here, okay? My dear children, 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, if somebody messes up, okay, come on. If somebody messes up, we have one. Speaking of Jesus, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus is our mediator. He represents us. All of us who've placed our trust in him, all of us who said, you know what, I can't save myself. I look to you, Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my all. You're my Lord. I'm not the Lord of my life anyway. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I will follow you. My life is in your hands. Everyone who has put their lives in the hand of Jesus, guess what? Jesus is your mediator. He is representing you before the throne of grace. The righteous one is representing you before the throne of grace. He's your defense attorney, and he's the one saying, look, my client, Eric, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. And here's why our defense attorney, our mediator, Christ Jesus, can say, hey, he's not guilty. She's not guilty. Because our defense attorney doesn't just represent us. He's the one who took the penalty for us. He's the one who did the time for us. He's the one who redeemed us. Jesus is our mediator. Wow. I've already preached this once today. I'm getting more excited right now. Whew. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered his disciples. He said, look, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But this is the amazing part of that statement, that we can come to the Father through him. He's our mediator. He is our way to the Father. He's our way to our Creator. He's our way to salvation and eternity. Jesus, our mediator. Praise God. Merry Christmas, by the way. Merry Christmas. You know, much like being our mediator, Jesus is also our high priest, and he's our intercessor. Our high priest and intercessor. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. It says, but because Jesus lives forever, he is what? The eternal Jesus, right? Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now, there may be some in this room that think, well, you know what? I mean, I don't think I can be completely saved because I've really done some really bad things. And I've messed up, and you know what? I've messed up, and I just messed up yesterday, even this morning. Jesus, the permanent priest, can and will completely save you. Turn to him. Amen. Turn to him right now. Don't be overwhelmed with condemnation. Turn to Jesus who saves. Your mediator. Your great high priest. who will complete that which he started in you. Amen? So, back to Scripture. Verse 26, such a high priest, we're speaking of Jesus, meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And so Jesus is our mediator. He's our high priest. He's our intercessor. Jesus is the all-sufficient sacrifice. He's our defender. He brings our eternal and he brings our daily needs before the Father. He's just that good. He cares about us. And he brings our cares as our mediator, as our intercessor before the Heavenly Father. Do you know Jesus as your mediator? And let me say this. Jesus is our only mediator. That's why we pray to Jesus. That's why we cry out to Jesus. That's why we lay our needs at the feet of Jesus. We don't lay our needs and pray and seek any kind of mediation or deliverance or intercession from people, whether they're alive or dead. We don't do that because Jesus is our mediator, the one and only mediator, the one and only permanent high priest, the one and only righteous one. That's who Jesus is. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Jesus is our leader. It says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and God placed all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus. He placed everything under his feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills everything in every way. Church, I want to remind us that we're not led by men. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is our senior pastor. We got a lot of smart guys here. We got an amazing elder team. Smart, wonderful, caring, loving guys that love the Lord. We have a role. We have a stewardship role. But Jesus is the leader. He's the leader of his church. Jesus is the head of the church. And because Jesus is the leader, here's the thing that Scripture tells us. It's found in Matthew 16, 18. Because Jesus is the leader of the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It's not going to happen. Are you part of the church? Right there, I'd jump into the church right away. I'm not just saying this local body. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ because Jesus is the leader. And he's already conquered everything. He's already done it. He has the victory. The gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail. You know, sometimes people beat down the church. And, you know, I'm on Facebook. And if you don't see me a lot on Facebook right now or in the future, you'll see me a little bit. But I'm trying to back off a little bit. It can be very time consuming. And, got to kind of back away. But one thing I notice about Facebook is, you know, we all like to put our opinion, including myself, and I want to show you, you know, I had this fun, I did this thing, I always show you my, when I do things great, I never show you videos or pictures of me, you know, getting frustrated with my family or anything like that. We don't post that on Facebook, right? We just show the good stuff, right? Anyway, but one thing that people like to put on Facebook is that I'm finding that really kind of frustrates me and discourages me a little bit. It's popular to be negative against the church, even Christians. To beat down the church, to say negative things about the church and disparaging things about the church. And that breaks my heart because they're speaking these negative things, these beat down things against the very church that Jesus is the leader of, that Jesus is the senior pastor of. They're speaking these things about the church that Jesus loved, that he came and he gave his life for. They're speaking these negative things about the very church that is his bride, that he's coming back for, that he loves, that he protects, that he bled for. So, hey, let's be those people who bless the church. If there's some things that are kind of like, I don't know, but just pray for the church. Speak blessings over the church. Pray the name of Jesus over the church. Ask the leader of the church, Jesus Christ himself, just to come in power and to do what he does, which is redeem all things and make all things new. But don't curse the church. Don't speak negatively about the church that Jesus leads, that he loves, and that he's coming back for. Bless the church. And pray for her. Besides, you're part of the church. You know what I'm saying? All right. Praise God. Merry Christmas, by the way. Jesus, who is he right now? Jesus is our life. We spoke it earlier. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. In Acts 17:28, we see that for in Jesus we live and move and have our being in Christ, in Jesus. That's how we live. We live in Him. In John 10, verses 9 and 10, Jesus reminds us. He says, I am the gate, meaning that He is the way. He's the gate. And Jesus says, whoever enters through me, through Jesus, will be saved. Jesus continues and He says, He will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, look, I have come that they, talking about you, the people of God, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is our life. He came, He was born, He put on flesh so that we might have life and that we might have it to the full right here, right now. Jesus is our life. Sometimes we walk around and we wonder, man, why am I here? I just feel like I'm living a less than life. I feel like things aren't all working out. I feel like I'm wandering. I feel depressed. You know, I just feel like this isn't right. Well, I want to encourage you, instead of focusing on those things that the enemy is using to rob you of what Christ has for you, turn your eyes to Jesus. Look full in His wonderful, glorious face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, and you will find life, L-I-F-E, life in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is our life, our life. You know, we find in Scripture that it is the grace of Jesus Christ that gives us new life. It's His grace. Gives us new life forever, for eternal, but He also gives us new life right here, right now, today. The grace of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think of the grace of Jesus Christ simply as that power of God that forgives us. Well, God forgives. We know that He forgives. But grace is so much more than just forgiveness. Grace is the literal power of God. That literal power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the grace of God. That's the grace of God that Jesus has given to His church, that He's given to each one of us individually. It says in Titus 2:11, and I'm just going to paraphrase whatever that goes up on the screen, but Titus 2:11 reminds us that the power of God, the grace of God that brings salvation, that grace that has justified us, that grace that brought us into the family of God, is the same grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. That same power, that same grace of God that has been given to us by Jesus. Merry Christmas, by the way. That Jesus has given to us, that same power that raised Him from the dead that we have. So now we can live godly, upright lives right here, right now in this present age. Jesus is our life right now. He is our life for eternity. He's our eternal life, but He's our life right now. The fullness of Him and His power and His grace has been given to us, His people. Amen. He's our life. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. I think that preaches. That's a good Christmas message. Anyway, praise God. He is our life. Jesus is our life. He's both saving us for eternity and He's saving us today. He's bringing us newness of life. Every single day, I want to make sure that you grab hold of His grace. You know, there are things that we gotta grab hold of and actually use. Otherwise, we miss out on it. And we don't want to do this thing where, like, you get a gift. And I was telling Jeremy, he was in the other service, about how, you know, sometimes it's frustrating for his kids when he gives them gifts and he doesn't let them take it out of the box and he doesn't put batteries in it, and how frustrating that is for the kids just to push a box around the house, you know, and they don't get the full experience of that gift and that toy that their dad just gave them, right? And sometimes I think we can do the same thing, where we keep the grace of God, the power of God, the life of Jesus Christ in the box. We're kind of looking at it through the plastic and we're going, wow, that's great, I look forward to it. But the Lord is saying, I've given you the gift. Open it up. Take those crazy, twisty things off of there, even if there are 100 of them and they drive you crazy, you know. Take them off and open that thing up and put the batteries in and enjoy the gift I've given you. Enjoy it. So I just want to say on this Christmas, open up the gift of God's grace. Open up the gift of life that He's given to you. Put the batteries in and enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy life, His life that He's given to you. Merry Christmas. Awesome. Praise God. I love His word. I love Jesus. Did you know that? It says in John 1:16, from the fullness of Jesus' grace, we have all received one blessing after another. From glory to glory. His mercies are new every morning. His blessings are new every morning. Jesus is our life. Now that we know who Jesus is, what are we going to do with this truth? What are we going to do with this amazing Christmas gift that is Jesus? How would your life change if you really received the real gift of Christmas, Jesus himself? What would happen to your life if Jesus really became your Savior? What would happen to your life if Jesus really was your mediator? I mean, if you really grabbed hold of that full reality, then not only has he saved you, but he's your mediator, making intercession for you right now. What would happen? How would you live your life? What would it mean to you this Christmas and every day thereafter if we walked in that reality that Jesus is our leader? He's our leader. He's leading our life. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. He's our leader. There's safety in that. What would happen if we lived from this day on and opened up that amazing gift of Jesus and he was our life, our everything? In him we live. We move and have our being. What would happen? I'm telling you what, it would be glorious. Why don't we stand up? Let's stand up. I just want to pray right now and just turn your hearts and your minds right now to the Lord. Turn to Jesus. Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are, the gift of you. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior, for being our mediator. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being our life, for being our all in all. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you. Let's just sing that to him even right now.
We adore you. We adore.
Amen.